Do we really understand what that means? That how far we are separated from God? What the distance was? It really can't be measured. The place that we are in before we got saved, we really, in that first chapter, really tried to get to understand that, especially as we looked at the life of Ruth. We saw that she was an enemy of God, being a Moabite. Moabites are bad. Moabites are enemies of the children of Israel. They were cursed. They were not allowed to enter the temple or come near the temple. Ruth was a person like that. She got involved with this family that Naomi was kind of the matriarch. And as she met Naomi, she married Naomi's son, and he died. And Naomi was in a bad place, being in a foreign land with her husband and her sons dead. But see, what we're really trying to drive home here is the idea that, and what I'm hoping and praying that you and I can really understand what redemption means, the fact that we were redeemed. In order to do that, we first have to understand and have anchored into our soul how separated we were from God, how incapable we were, as Ruth, of doing anything about that separation. We needed help. We needed mercy. We, as Ruth, are desperate. She was unable to do anything about her condition. Imagine being in a situation like that where you can't do anything about your situation. All you can do is ask for help. That's exactly what happened. Ruth and Naomi traveled back to Bethlehem, to Judah. As they went back there, no prospect of work, no opportunities for them. They had to rely on the mercy of somebody else. The second chapter, we're calling it a wealthy man. When you're in a bad place, you need somebody that's in a better position, that's in a better place, that has the ability to do something about your situation, but also has the desire to do something about your situation. So far, the most redeeming thing about Ruth is when Naomi was going back to her land and Naomi was telling her to stay back in Moab. She didn't listen to Naomi and she pressed forward and she said, "Wherever you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." She was willing to forsake all because of her desperate condition in order to go to the place that Naomi was going. And that was the beginning for her. And so when they get to this place, Bethlehem, God had blessed the place. There was a harvest, there was food, there was plenty, but they couldn't have any part of it, especially Ruth, because she was a Moabite. She couldn't be part of their people, she couldn't be part of their religion, she couldn't be part of the workforce, she didn't have any opportunity to hire a recruiting agency to get her a job. She needed a person, a wealthy man, to help her, that was willing to help her. So that's just where we pick up the story. I'm not going to review it too much just because we've gone over it quite a bit. But let's just pick up the story. We're going to go in verse 14. And so now as she's starving, desperate, and destitute, she had come across a field where she was allowed to glean. Verse 14, Boaz said to her at mealtime, he said, "Come here and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." And so she sat beside the reapers, and he passed the parched grain to her, and she ate, and she was satisfied, and kept some back. To me, this is one of the most perfect pictures, most poignant examples of what it means to have fellowship with God. Koinonia. Here we have this woman in such a bad condition But this rich, wealthy man not only allowed her to glean in the fields, but he allowed her to be as his own people, which was, you really have to understand the problem with the Moabites to see how an extreme situation this was. And he received her, but I want us to see what happens here, because verse 14 of chapter 2 is really the essence of what it means to be a Christian. This is really the activity of a Christian. This is what we do. This is what we've been allowed to come into. This is why we're born again. This is why Christianity is not a religion, but it's a fellowship and a relationship with an almighty God who's allowed us to come to Him. Watch this again. Now, Boaz, remember Boaz, a man, his name means a man of valor. This upstanding, wealthy, righteous, well looked upon man. He says to her at mealtime. So he's inviting her to the meal. Not only does he allow her just to glean in the field, but he invites her in at mealtime to be a part of the meal that would go on with his servant. So inviting her to be a part of it. And there's a progression here with her, where we see initially her heart was willing to be part of God's people, to want what Naomi had. And so we see her willing to leave everything in order just to be with Naomi. And then we see that develop into her being allowed to glean in the field. And now she's not only allowed to glean, but you remember she was even given water to drink from. And now not only is she given water to drink from, but she's invited to sup with, to meal with, to dine with. That was an intimate situation. It wasn't just like driving through Arby's and throwing a couple bacon cheeseburgers, or what do they call those things? Beef and cheddar. Vince knows. A couple beef and cheddars down as you're driving down the road. This was an intimate situation. And so watch this. She's invited by Boaz. He says, come here. He's inviting her in. Notice this. Because this is what God says to us as well. He's constantly inviting us in. And in no way does He ever put any roadblock or barrier in front of us. To a Jewish person, to understand this is incredible. The fact that there's no barriers anymore. There's no just certain days that we can come in and worship God. But as that veil was torn from top to bottom, it made a full access to God, to where those barriers that were set before the children of Israel, don't come any further, only come on this certain day. That was all removed so that, as the book of Hebrews records, that we can boldly come to the throne of grace. That's an awesome privilege. It's a privilege that may be difficult for us to conceive, to understand, to comprehend. But think about that. God is telling a person that was in such a bad place, that had no business being where she was. She was completely at the mercy and the grace of this man. And he says, not only you can glean from the leftovers, but this is a picture of the grace of God, how He wants to bring us in to enjoy the fullness of Him. Now we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing with that privilege? You see, angels know what a privilege this is for us to be able to do that. Angels look into the situation, we are told, and can't even comprehend this plan of salvation and grace that God has given us as human beings. But think about that, and we really need to get our minds around this, because I think there's just a huge failure in the body of Christ of understanding and appreciating the opportunity of coming into the grace of God and supping with Him. Koinonia, fellowship. Him and us and Him, relating with Him. See, we have to move past the mechanics of just opening up our Bible and reading the words. But we have to come into a place where these activities are leading us into a relationship, into fellowship. Because the mere mechanics of that is really not the end of the situation. The Bible, the Word, prayer, fellowship, attending church, serving, those are all vehicles. That's all they are, tools. Those aren't the end. A lot of us fall short in thinking that we've arrived when we've done those things. If I crack open my Bible and I read it and I close it and I go my merry way without fellowshipping with God, we've missed the whole point and we might as well have not even done that. If these words are not bringing us into koinonia, into fellowship, this is the whole point of us being saved. To fail on this point is to fail in the blessings and the utilization of the grace of God. It's not about doing the activity. It's about the activities leading us to the throne of grace, fellowshipping with God, communing with Him, understanding Him, meeting with Him, eating with Him. Revelation chapter 3. I stand at the door and knock. You know that one, right? And he who opens the door, this is not a salvation message in Revelation 3. This is for the body of Christ, for the believers. He who opens that door, I will come in and I will sup with him. This is this. I will have dinner. That's intimacy. That's relationship. Watch this, verse 14. Come here, eat of the bread. You think about that. You starting to make the connections? He's inviting to eat. Jesus said the same thing. I'm the bread of life. He said, eat of me. Take of my body. Eat of me. And here we are tonight. We're taking in the Word of God. This is not an academic exercise. And if it is, we have problems. This is all and should all be leading us to fellowship with God, to eat of Him, to drink of Him, to take Him in, to see Him more clear, to understand His nature and His condition and what He thinks about us and what we should know about Him so that our relationship can be deeper. Come here, eat the bread. And notice this, I like this. And dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. He's not only, this, it just progresses, it gets better and better. He's not only saying just eat a piece of bread, but he says, I want to spice it up a little bit. I want to add a little flavor. I want to add a little flavor to your life. I don't want your life to be bland and boring, but as you eat of me and partake of me and you diligently seek me, I will show you great and wondrous things, and then I'll spice up your life. Do any of you like to go to an Italian restaurant and dip your bread in the oil and vinegar? That's one of my favorite. I love that. I see a hand back there. You get that little olive oil and you put that balsamic vinegar in there and you dip the bread in there. It's just perfect. But see, this is what's so great. It's so easy to miss these little details. This is all a picture of fellowship. This is all a picture of what God is wanting to do in our life and is what He's invited us to do. And to miss this is really to miss the whole thing of what it means to be born again. So dip the bread in. And it says, so she sat beside the reapers. So she was just one of everybody else. I love that. In the body of Christ, there are many gifts, diversities of gifts, but one Spirit. There's a uniqueness in the body, an individualness, but there's also a oneness. Isn't that cool? And we can all appreciate the differences in one another, and yet all those differences are just a different side of the working of the Holy Spirit, looking at that diamond from a different angle. As we come together as a body of Christ and as God shines through each person and the Spirit lives out through each one of us, that's the beauty of fellowship in a church, is that we are able to see God. As we know one another better, we should know more about God. have a deeper understanding as we get to know one another. I love that. And so she's included. She's now just like everybody else. Once an enemy, once a foreigner, once far off. Now she's just like everybody else, sitting at the table, being even served by Boaz, coming in and be called a friend. As he passed the grain, she ate and noticed that she was satisfied. It's one of my favorite things about understanding God, is His desire to satisfy us. And I believe this is one of the greatest needs that you and I have as human beings. Most importantly, that our souls are satisfied. That's important, isn't it? Because if our souls are not satisfied, what's going to happen? Our flesh is going to take over, isn't it? Now, how does our soul become satisfied? We're seeing it right here, aren't we? How? Anybody?
Eat the bread.
That's right. Do you see what's happening here, though? See, unless we are fellowshipping with God, eating of Him, partaking of Him, we are not going to be satisfied. Our souls are going to be lean, not in a good way. It's not good when your soul's lean. Maybe good when your body's lean, not your soul. You want your body to be lean, your soul to be fat, fat and happy. And the way that happens is it has to be fed. It has to be communing. It has to be relating. And so we see this satisfaction. And notice this. She was satisfied and kept some back. Do you see that? There was always more. She couldn't handle anymore. She ate as much as she could. And she kept some back. And that's the neat thing about God. That's how grace is, isn't it? Grace is always abundant. Life in God, that connection, you know, in John 15 where it talks about that He's the vine and we're the branches, that we're connected to life itself. You think about that. And so there should be a liveliness to us. There should be something in us where there's passion, where there's excitement, where there's enthusiasm, where things are happening spiritually. But it always starts in fellowship with God. And without that, we can still do the stuff, but doing the stuff without having the essence, the essential commodity of fellowship and God filling us and us being filled with God, then we're really not doing any good. But see, there was satisfaction. And there was even more left over. There is abundance of grace. And that's always how God works. So before we move on, let's really think about how you and I are seeing this opportunity. Are our souls filled? When our souls are correctly filled, there's leftover. That means there's more than we can really handle. That means inside of us is welling up a well of living water. There's a quality, there's a character, there's a way a person in this condition, the way they look, the way they interact with people, a way they respond to difficulty, temptation, trials. There's something about people like that. And just as our bodies need to regularly eat, so our souls need to be constantly fed. So here's an opportunity for us. And some people are going to take this opportunity tonight. They're going to take it by the horns. They're going to get it for all they can get. And that's my prayer for each one of us. But as so often we see, there's this opportunity that is going to be missed by people. An opportunity God says, come and eat with me. Come and I will blow you away. I'll knock your socks off. I will show you things you've never seen before. I will open up your understanding to me. And let's face it, sometimes there's a little patience involved. There's diligence. There's a persistence. It may not be when we open up our Bibles tonight or tomorrow morning that all of a sudden The lights are going to come on. We're going to be struck by lightning, and we're going to be whole different people. There has to be a persistence, a diligence, a seeking, a going after. But we have a promise that whoever would do that, and God, in no way would God cast out. In no way would God say, whoa, buddy, back up, you're getting too close. We can go as far as we want. You know that? We can go as far as we want. No barriers whatsoever. So what do you say? How far do you want to go? Me too. Here's an opportunity. He who desires to come after me must first, what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Here's an opportunity. God says, hey, the children of Israel, God said, I'll give you every place the sole of your foot touches. In all of their height of glory, they got 1/10 of all that God had given to them. I don't want to be like that, do you? I want to have it all. I hate to be say the word greed, but if God says I can have all, that, I want it all. But we have to ask, are we really serious about that? Because for sure, the devil's going to put a lot of things in our way that's going to make that difficult. Verse 15. Now watch this. This is good. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. So now the fellowship had occurred, the eating had occurred, but this is what's interesting. And here's the balance. There was a time for her to rise up and go and work. That time of rising up and going and working, it came after we see her fellowshipping. She's full, she's ready to go. In the Christian life, there must be a balance. God fills us, feeds us. We have our great, wonderful, devotional time with Him. And then we go. Go ye therefore into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, depending on what version you have, lo, I am with you till the end of the age, or always. But that's, we need to get up and be involved and be active. And you know, the interesting thing is that activity is usually a natural byproduct of our fellowship with God, because we get to a place where we have to do something with that. It's hard when you're communing with God and He's filling you to overflowing. You're full of grace and peace and love and joy. It's hard to just sit and not do anything with that. Natural byproduct is that we would want to rise up, we'd want to go, we'd want to share, we want to give. You know, sometimes we make such a big deal about that, and we have to force ourselves to do certain things. But I want to encourage you that the activity will be a natural byproduct of our fellowship and connection. John 15, again, it says, abide in me, and I in you, and therein you'll bear much fruit. It's that connection, that fellowship, and the living out of that which will naturally produce fruit in our life. Now, so she rises up and she gleans, and she's encouraged and allowed to. Notice that word, let her. I like that. God, that's what God says to us. God will let us. He'll let us have all the Spirit we want. He'll let us have all of Himself as we want. Let her. Let her keep going. She's ambitious. She wants more. Let her keep going. By the law, she couldn't do this. But by grace, she was allowed to do this. Big difference, right? The law prohibited her. The law would have kept her back. But it was the abundant grace that would say, keep coming. And I really believe that God sees a heart like this, that's excited, that's passionate, that's wants more of Him. Just God looks at us and He says, keep coming. And He says, let that person keep coming. And God just, He's out there for us. He doesn't have bodyguards. He doesn't have barriers. He's just out there. He said, let them keep coming. And we can keep coming and coming and coming. Verse 16. It says, also let the grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. See the more progression going on here. And somebody gave me the scripture one time when God had called us to move from California out here to start this church. I remember his name was Ken Krikak. Shay remembers him. Ken Krikak, great guy. Ken Krikak said, John, God has purposely left blessings for you. He's left them down on the ground. You just go out there and get them. And I, you know, sometimes people say things, the power of words, right? I remember this, that was 5 years ago. Small little statement, small little thing, just in passing, kind of. And it stuck. And never forget that. As I've come out here and seen it, these things just fall, seem like they fall in your lap. Things open up. And all of you are these little blessings that God has put down on the ground and purposely left them and said, here they are. Here's your blessing. Here's what I leave for you. What may seem like an accident, you know, just random leftovers, God purposely left them there, put things in our path, put things in our way for us to go scoop up. And I believe the same for us, all of you here, that God has purposely left blessings for you. He's put them down there. He said, go scoop them up because of his grace and his mercy. And you know what I love about God? He loves to bless us like that. He loves to surprise us. He loves to give us gifts. He's a gift giver. Now, that shouldn't mean that that's what we're into, just loving God because he gives us stuff. We love God because he's God. We love God because he's lovable. And really, he should be the end of really all we're looking for. But in reality, practically, he leaves these blessings purposely. And he has us in mind. And he says, here you go, bud. Here you go, daughter, son. I'm going to leave that for you. And for those of you who have kids, you know how cool it is when you give something to your kid that he really wants and he appreciates it and he's thankful for it and you see his eyes or her eyes open up in that excitement. I believe that's how God gets when he leaves us blessings, gives us opportunities, opens doors for us. And here we are, and we're excited about it. Boy, people sure have the wrong idea about God, don't they? Isn't that unfortunate that people don't understand our God correctly and the way he works and the way he operates? We're going to finish there. We're going to get into communion tonight. Because I want to, as we get into communion, I want to think about the grace of God, the opportunity that you and I have here tonight. Doesn't really matter where we've been, what we've done. What matters is right now, right this second. What matters is the fact that God and the Holy Spirit, right now as we sit here, are saying to us, come. All you who are weary and heavy laden, I'm sure none of you are like that, but come, cast your burden on me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Doesn't that sound good? Father, we thank you for tonight. I thank you for my blessings that sit here that you purposely left. And I thank you for your grace that is just so hard to understand, Lord. But we freely receive. And Lord, as we sit here today, we want to say we want all that you have for us, Lord. Forgive us for our complacency, for our sin, for our lack, Lord, of desiring you, Lord Jesus. But right now, God, we want to ask that you would come. Tonight, we're going to take communion. And as the guys pass out the communion, let us just right now, let us just do some business with God. This is not just a time where we heard some stuff, but this is a time where God, by His Spirit, wants to speak to us individually. May our hearts be open. If you have any sin that you're aware of, or any attitude problems, any complaining or griping problems, any area of your life where you need to ask God to forgive you and also to fill you, let's do that as the guys pass out communion. We're just going to have a quiet time here. This is your time. The Bible says that he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. It's possible for us to sit here and not hear God. It's possible for us not to be open. It's possible for us to have a hardened heart. Lord, I want to pray for all of our hardened hearts, Lord, where we become desensitized to you. We're not sensitive anymore. Where corrosion has built up. Lord, each one of us, God, we need you to cleanse us. Lord, we need more sensitivity to you and your Spirit. Lord, we need more of a hunger for you. It's going to take the next few minutes just to give you your own time to speak to the Lord. And I just encourage you to, right now, nothing else matters really. Nothing else exists except for that you hear from God. You allow Him to speak to your heart. Holy Spirit, come. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to your church. Thank you, Jesus.